Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? It's the one, the only. People try to duplicate this show, but they can't. E-Train's off the rails, uncensored. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, after a nice visit at the NWL Training Performance Center, I'm going to think about a few things since I've been discussing a lot lately on the other end of wrestling about politics and wrestling, and people seem to think, you know, they have an idea or on tap of what is politics and wrestling. It could be that the promoter is burying somebody. It could be that this guy gets a top shelf or top notch spot because, well, he's your token stereotypical ass kisser. Or then you have the guy that basically works his ass off in the back, you know, he does everything he's supposed to, and nothing comes of it. But when reality is, you know, from what I've seen in the politics of wrestling, I can tell you, can explain to you, that no matter what you think, it's always going to be, well, the same, different or indifferent, depending on your viewpoints. It's much like a job. You know, if you work your ass off and keep your head down, eventually you get the call, or, you know, you get your accolades, if you will. That, and what does that atone to? What does that mean, accolades? Okay. It means that whenever you get accolades, you get told, hey, man, you did a really good job. It's just like patting someone on the back. Again, this is just my viewpoints on it. There's going to be favoritism. Is that a word even exist in the world of wrestling? What do you consider favoritism? Because I'm not going to open the Instagram lines because I realize that's what slows me down. I'm going to close them just for now. But if you want to, you can. I'll answer them later on next week's edition of Off the Rails Uncensored. But I'm going to say this right now. Favoritism in the business. Does that word exist? Some guys outwardly will not say that they have been favorited. But how, you know, how did they get labeled that? Because the guys that sit and complain are the ones saying this guy is a favorite. This guy, Joe Blow or whatever his name is a running favorite. So why then B-Train, you know, should we even attempt to say the word favorite? Because I'll tell you why. In this line of business, there's some guys that will outright admit that they are. I mean, you know, oh, you know, I'm pretty lucky because I am where I am. You know, I worked hard. Other guys that view that guy will probably tell you he's a lying sack of shit. He kissed ass every which way, and he doesn't deserve the spot he's in. There's that in every job, you know. They're not happy if they don't complain. So in the world of professional wrestling, you have your hierarchy. You got the guy that works his ass off. You have the guy or gal. Let me be fair here to the women. You have the guy or gal that just is in the middle and content, you know, with where they are. Then you have guy or gal that just, you know, no matter where they go, they like wrestling or there because it's a comfort level. Politically speaking, you know, if you're in good with a promoter, do I know from experience what that's like? Yeah, but I'm not going to sit here week in and week out complaining about, you know, what happened to me over the course of a year and almost a year and a half ago. But I am going to tell you that it's funny, if you don't, in politics and wrestling, it doesn't just stem from Vince McMahon, Triple H, you know, the promoter that runs NWA or NPJW or even Lucha Underground. They are looking for guys that can, you know, perform in the moment, and in the moment being, can they put on not just a five-star quality match, but can they work with anybody? And that's very important in the world of professional wrestling, is if you can't work with anyone, well, then why the fuck are you working? Why are you putting yourself on the poster? You know, why are they putting you on the poster then if you're not supposed to work your ass off? You know, there's several things that bug the ever-living fuck out of me, but when you discuss politics and wrestling, there are some guys that can explain it better than I. They can tell you, oh, you know, this time in wrestling, this was this way, and this time in wrestling, it was that way. I understand that certain things were done a certain way, but if you look at different promoters and different promotions, it's best to stay away from politics and wrestling, especially, you know, what's going on currently. We discussed that the last time that we were on, you know, live there on Wrestle Radio. Do we know anything about why, you know, the reasoning? It was given to us for NWL Kansas City's fight page, and also NWL St. Louis, Evan Gillespie came on, or Matt Jackson, my bad, and he gave his reasoning. Again, when you asked me, when a few fans asked us, where do we stand, you know, with the whole NWL St. Louis, NWL Kansas City ordeal, I'm going to, you know, be honest with you, I'd like to stay clear of that shit. Why? Because whenever you have something, especially, you know, when it's professional wrestling, and especially when it's political side of it, it's just as, you know, bad as normal politicians. There's good and there's bad. There's evil and they're stupid. The difference between evil and stupid is you can have evil being they won't promote the fuck out of you and you have to work for what you get. And literally in promotion that you work for, you got to make sure that you're not only promoting yourself, but basically not putting yourself over, being unselfish and all that good jazz. So politics and wrestling, how do you play your strengths? How do you manage? When, you know, everyone's talking the political side of wrestling and they won't shut up about it. Well, you know what? There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that that goes on, and unfortunately, you know, we're stuck. We are stuck in this world of, you know, he said, she said bullshit. Social media is kind of an ant for it. You know, people put videos of one another on one fucking website. So, oh, it's politics. You know what? I'm going to roast a few people just because it's necessary. No, it's because they brought it upon themselves. Like a boss that won't leave you alone, you know, even though you're off the clock. You got to be careful for what you say, you know, when it comes to politics and wrestling. You know why that is? Because some people will vouch for how bad you do, just depending on how you left, like how you leave a job. So people try and correct you in this world. Those are the types of fucks that believe that their way and their style is never wrong. What does this have to do with anything political in wrestling? Though promoters will never say they play favorites, that's a bold-faced fucking lie. I can give some great examples of that. And those guys tell me, no, I didn't intentionally become a favorite. I know, you know, guys like Roman Reigns, guys like John Cena, I've learned to just cope with them being in the business, because why? Every fan has their choice, or does, you know, proceeds to cheer for whomever they want to fucking cheer for. They don't understand. Some of them understand the political side of it because they think they do. Some of you guys believe that political side has just to do with, oh my God, this guy got a push just because I believe this. It's a guessing game with some of you, and that's fine. That's all fine and dandy when it comes to saying, okay, the politics of wrestling is that Vince McMahon did this reason, and that Vince is not just Vince, it's the guy or gal, you know, that runs promotion in the indies, like a Sammy Callahan, for that matter, who runs Wrestling Revolver. Does Sammy play favorites? Couldn't tell you, because I like to keep my nose clean out of that mess. Why start shit when it, you know, I've been known to stir up shit? There's a difference. But do you want an employee who's loyal to your brand? Do you want an employee who is working their ass off without saying shit? Basically what it boils down to, ladies and gentlemen, is do you want an employee that will vouch for your company no matter what? So what it boils down to is, in the world of professional wrestling, politics can be a harm or a help to some people. You know, if you're able to shirk it off and be like, oh, well, you know, fuck them, I don't honestly care what you say, I don't care, you know, who you tell it to. To me, that's very admirable of, you know, certain individuals who don't care about the political side of wrestling, because if you start caring too much about who's doing what, you get caught up in the fray, you get caught up in the middle of shit, and it's not really fun anymore. So what I'm going to tell you is that, having experienced some of this stuff, what this boils down to is, don't get caught in the political bullshit. It's just as bad as normal political shit. When people start arguing about, you know, what a Democratic side does and a Republican side does, it's just, you know, you have your idiots in wrestling that believe that they are the best that the land has to offer. And then when you see some of their work, it's just a crock of shit. I could give you examples, but see, that would get, you know, me putting myself in the crosshairs. So what I will tell you, and what I will do for you, is I'm going to just reflect upon what I've seen so far in the world of wrestling, because all this really says to me, ladies and gentlemen, is this. If you have friends in this business, it's just like having friends at a job, okay? You're going to make enemies, you're going to make friends in the world of wrestling. You can, there is a saying though that goes along with this. And I believe Scott Hall said this. He said a long time ago, you know, someone told him, you can either choose to make friends or you can make a lot of money. And I think that saying in the business, you know, you can do this for money or you can do this for the business, some choose to do both. How does that have anything to do with politics? Well, it stems from a line that Kevin Nash said, the Hall of Fame, if you think I did this for the money, you're probably right. And I'm guessing by some of these reactions on Instagram, as I told you, I'm not going to read questions, but I am going to tell you the political side of wrestling, it has more to do with the individual's perception and how they perceive themselves, because I can tell you right now, a guy like Michael Hayes or J.J. Dillon, they're two different, you know, compare and contrast. J.J. Dillon was more of a mouthpiece and not, you know, he was a workhorse. But how did a J.J. Dillon differ from a Michael Hayes? Michael Hayes was a part of the Fabulous Freebirds, you know, a very similar group to the Four Horsemen. But the politics back then is a lot tougher because you had Crockett, you had McMahon Sr. You had to deal with a whole bunch of crap. So by dealing with a bunch of crap, that means, okay, you're going to have to, you know, do this tonight. I'm going to have to take the title off. You know, some people are still stuck in the belief that wrestling is all about who gets the push because of t-shirt sales and this, that, the other. No. If you honestly did a survey, if you did a survey with fans about, you know, Rob Van Dam or Roman Reigns, if Rob Van Dam was still working in the E, a lot of fans would tell you, no, we don't want Roman. But it's not up to the fans all the time, you know, to decide. So, politically speaking, yeah, there are favorites. People don't want to point that out. But same token, you know, there's going to be pains in the asses that come up to me and say, man, I liked him better than you. I think this is a bunch of political shit. I think that they're just trying to bury Bray Wyatt. If they tried to bury him, why did he win a championship? Okay? So, there's always, I mean, always, there's always going to be hope. Instead of, oh, you know, I think The Undertaker really shouldn't have lost to Brock. And yes, I'm using mainly WWE references because in Evolve, you know, you've got your Matthew Riddle, you got, well, you had Chris Hero, but still have Zack Sabre Jr., Darby Allin on occasion, you know. As the, you know, politics, you know, backstage shit going on, probably. What kind of backstage drama? I don't know. Never, ever assume anything in the world of professional wrestling. And that is, that rings very true because people say outlandish crap about Benoit and Owen Hart. They will say the most randomest crap about anybody and anything just to get a rise. So, politically speaking about professional wrestling, okay. I'll just say it right now. If you're going to get into the business, here's something you all should know. Don't, because I learned the hard way, you know, I was actually, for a brief time, and I'm not proud of this, was a part of, you know, creative and KCXW, and some of the shit that it really bogged my mind, or boggled my mind, was, you know, the way matches would finish and why it would finish the way it did. Probably should have kept my mouth shut, but at the same time, wrestling, in my opinion, can be from many different vantage points. And politically speaking, fans aren't going to understand it if it's directly from what the workers think will look good, because the fans and workers' perspective, I'm going to talk to you about that later on. But politically speaking, where I was, you know, from where I was sitting, I always felt one-sided. And I know it's not good to dwell, ladies and gents, but I got to get this out. I felt that things cannot always be based on my opinion, and it cannot be, oh, you know, B-Train, you know, we don't agree with you, so I should just storm out. No. From what it was, I felt that it could have been better. I felt that things could have gone better. I thought things could have ebbed and flowed a lot better creative-wise, and not just creative-wise, but from a fan's perspective, are you really going to believe, you know, a dude that is, like, barely over 5 foot to start, you know, winning a match? You know, it is what it is. That's fine, but no one in real life or reality will believe it. A normal person, a normal sane human being, say, you know, a lot of stranger things have happened. Giants have been defeated, like, well, I don't know, Rey Mysterio versus Big Show. That's very different playing fields, independent versus pro. It's still independent pro versus pro, whatever. I feel that, hang on 1 second. Anyways, ladies and gents, I had to just check on a few things, but I am back. And as I was saying, it's very nerve-wracking, you know, or very irritating when you hear, you know, or see what you didn't want to see. The fans, do they understand it? That's the main question. Do they understand the political side of wrestling? Some may and some don't. It's a matter of how the promoter is and what he decides, or he or she decides to promote. That's just my take on it. So, it's, you know, if they have a bunch of ground and pound big and tall wrestlers in their promotion, that's on them. That's their decision. Wrestling is, you know, a variety. It's become a variety of fields. Of answers, so a variety field of answers. So, I gotta say, the frustrating part is though we sit and discuss, you know, political sides of things, I have decided to move on because it's really up to you guys what you believe. Is political side of wrestling, although some points of it are skewed until you get on the other side of the business and actually start seeing things with your own eyes. So, you know, it's completely up to you. So I'm going to move forward. Oh, yeah. I already discussed the National Wrestling League. I thought the Training Performance Center, though, tonight was pretty awesome. I had a good time. I mean, I saw, you know, one of my buddies, Kurt Gannon. It was a lot of fun seeing Kurt in the ring with Maverick, and looked like a stiff fest to me. It was pretty badass. Then you had one of the Royal Bloods going up against one of the Training Performance Center students. Pretty decent match. Okay, what else? Oh, yeah, we had a battle royal and a tag team match with Michael Strider and Jeremy Wyatt versus, again, you know, two students of the NWL TPC. Strider and Wyatt won. Oh, and got to see Dak Draper's protege, Milton, I believe it was. Yeah, Milton. And, you know, it shaves everything. Milton looks like a carbon copy of Dak. Like a mini Dak Draper, which is kind of freaky. But, here's the thing. Yeah, the cool thing. I mean, just that long pause was not for a bad dramatic reason. No, no, no. There was a birthday wish, and Marty Bell, who was awesome, love her to death. She, you know, helped wish a good friend of ours, Aggressive Radio's, Disco Dude, a happy birthday, which was, you know, badass in my opinion. So, NWL TPC, kudos to you for doing that. We're going to segue into our advertising section here. So, here goes. I'm going to advertise like crazy soon. If you'd like to sign up for WWE Network, you can do so by signing up at WWE.com. Go to Network on the Network tab. type in your email and password. The first month is free. If you want to get a WWE preloaded card, it costs $29.97 for the first three, or it's already loaded on there. It's $29.97 card. 3 months, so you get 4 months. So I would get at least four of those suckers, and it's $119.98, something like that. If I'm completely wrong on the math, I apologize. Anyway, so speaking of advertising, if you would like to make your child's wish come true, be sure to do so at www.makeawish.com. Become a Make-A-Wisher. Type in any superstar's name, whether it be Randy Orton, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins, anybody. Anybody can make a wish. Even The Miz. Even, who knows, you know, might add Maryse into that mix too. You can, I forgot to add that you can get your WWE preloaded cards at your local Dollar Generals, 7-Elevens, Best Buys, and GameStop. Ladies and gentlemen, also, if I'm doing this correctly here, here's what I have to tell you. If you are a veteran and you are looking for a job, you go to hireforhero.com. They will help you online application. They'll also help you with anything if you've been in, if you are in need of a job. That's hireforhero.com. So enough of the stumbling. Let's get straight to it. Good pro wrestling versus bad pro wrestling. Man, this is going to stem from a fan perspective and also a worker's perspective, which is what I'm trying to do tonight. I do not speak for any other workers. As long as, you know, you get along with each other, you don't have to get along with one another. But what I do know is you better put on a damn decent match or else the fans ain't going to be into it. Doesn't matter where you are, East Coast, Midwest, whatever. So, good pro wrestling versus bad pro wrestling. Okay, that's fairly freaking fortunate. So, what I'd say is if you want a good pro wrestling match, first and foremost, if, you know, a manager is working with a wrestler, if he's not with a manager, doesn't matter. Has to have a good beginning, middle, and end from a fan's perspective. And a lot of fans know the fucking terms. So, okay, might as well say it. Start out with your shine. Then somewhere over. False hopes. After false hopes comes, you know, the finish. Some guys call it falsies, you know, whatever. Promoters. And that is considered a joke in this business and not to be taken seriously anyway. So, without further ado, if you wrestle on the side, if it's a side hobby, that you put somebody's name in the fucking line of being a bad worker, you're being petty and you're not doing the business a service. You're doing it a disservice. And also, for those of you who do rants, well, can't really say nothing because that's not only my shtick, but a lot of podcast sticks who like to bitch and gripe, complain about everything. What is good pro wrestling versus bad pro wrestling? Bad pro wrestling just isn't in WWE. It's not bad. It's gotten better. Definitely, and the product has increased, or it's trying to entice the viewers with names. So, I mean, AJ Styles, Nakamura, Owens, Rollins, Balor, list goes on and on. Independent pro wrestling has their bad names too. I mean, I've already run it into the ground, but it feels good sometimes, you know, just to drag it up just every now and again, because a lot of people will sit there and say, oh, well, he does this all the time. You know, we're not worried about it. We are not worried about it. When you put on a show and it comes on the news feed that I have on Facebook, I'm well aware of what's going on, and I'm well aware that it may not seem crappy to you in the world of La La Land, but in the world of not just B-Train, but normal wrestling fans who would see that shit would say, yeah, can you throw that away and put it in the garbage, you know, throw that piece of garbage out the window? I think I would be very much happy at all. And what am I referring to? You know, the videos that come up with yards hard activity with guys doing elbow drops onto light tubes onto their best friend. Or better yet, having in a wheelchair take a super kick, and that to me, and just my opinion, certain sick, sadistic bastards may want to see that. I personally just tell myself, okay, if you are a manager, and it doesn't matter if you're walking or in a wheelchair or on crutches or have one leg, one arm, I don't care. Stop putting yourself or trying to put yourself over. It's not in the cards for you to be the next Bobby Heenan or Jim Cornette or, you know, better yet, I think JT said it best. If you're the manager that can make you laugh, if we are the managers that can make you laugh and hate you, that means we did our job. So good pro wrestling versus bad pro wrestling. Someone says it best all the time. Become a servant to this business. If you're not making much, start trying to make more. Get more t-shirts. Get more merchandise. That's part of good pro wrestling. If you're able to take track or keep track of your merchandise, if you're able to keep track of what time the event is and where you will, you know, will be wrestling next, then you're doing your job. So I don't know what to tell you. Oh, yes, I do know what to tell you. Well, good pro wrestling is something that isn't always planned. It's just you put on a damn decent show, and your product is different from old school ECW and a blend of WCW. That's just my opinion. I want to see a product that makes me go, I want to see them week in and week out, and not just mommy and daddy are going to be at the show, or friend and best friend. Your friends and family, okay, that just constitutes as a crowd. Any crowd is a crowd, so a show is a show. So they tell you. According to the world of me, B-Train, I could tell you otherwise. Friends and family, that makes your crowd, right? Good pro wrestling means, you know, sure, the same crowd shows up and a little bit different, but your crowds are always full. Do you have to have a sellout audience to make it a decent show? In my mind, if people like what they see and they know what they're getting from, that is what makes the world of professional wrestling go round. If you have good crowds, you know how to sell your merchandise, you have guys that are putting on A-quality shows, and I got to be honest with you, I've been to some Evolve shows, I've been to some Ring of Honor shows back home. So it is a big deal when other organizations claim, you know, that they are the best. Claiming doesn't, I mean, yeah, it's part of promoting and making your product the best and making yourself, putting yourselves out there. But also, if you know, if you want to know what a good wrestling show is, it's that show is talked about. And just a good example, since I know I'm pro WWE, obviously, on most of the discussions, and sometimes ECW and sometimes Ring of Honor involved. Sometimes, I said sometimes, that's funny, the Instagram just picked up. Their entrance is what really captivated me, and also the show was easy to follow. Do you know why? There's very few promos, and there's, you know, it got to the point, like New Day's entrance. That was very, very WrestleMania-esque with the band coming out and playing a tune and doing all they could, you know, to get things going and making it a well-loved show, you know, because, or well-liked, my bad. It was easy to follow. They got right into it. It was the 8-man tag match. And it was amazing. Was it, you know, newsworthy? Did everyone tune in to that show? No. But it captivated an audience. It got people talking about it. Not everybody watches that, but I get it. Since I have a minute left, ladies and gentlemen, I was going to say right now, the next 45 minutes is going to be one good experience for moi. Since I've, you know, made, you know, efforts into putting the show together, because sometimes you just, well, even yours truly will run out of ideas. Not entirely. I can think of things off the top of my head, but the next segment, if you join on this crazy train, it's going to be a discussion for the ages. And that is, well, how it's just good to keep your nose clean and your eyes open, ears open, mouth shut, and all this, that, the other. Because in the world of professional wrestling, there are certain people who will try and bait you to get say, you know, get you to say things and all this. I am one of those people that if you take gander and try to take gander into mine, you will not figure me out. I'm going to continue what I've been discussing, but I'm going to go even more in depth than I usually do. So here it is. Off the rails. Uncensored. And 4, 3, 2, 1. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the next 45 minutes is just going to be one big, you know, clumping together of what I like to call B-Train's Off the Rails Uncensored, political side of wrestling. You're either a Shawn Michaels or a Bret Hart. You're either a Samoa Joe or Finn Balor. Sorry, I mean, Finn Balor is actually up and up and up in the company. So that's not a bad, you know, it's not a bad deal that I just made that comparison. You're either a Seth Rollins or a Dean Ambrose. Each person has a hierarchical part in the world of pro wrestling, okay? So whether you believe in the bullshit or not, the rumors, the real live videos, that's up to you, not me. Okay, I wouldn't want to be on that side of the spectrum. You know why? Because in the world of pro wrestling, you know, one guy tells a story, another guy tells a story. Then it comes to a head, and then it becomes a, you know, either a freaking joy or just snowballs into a bunch of drama. A lot of people debate about why the Montreal Screwjob happened and whatever. There's some crazy-ass theories floating around Instagram, you know, from what I've been reading. Okay, now, let's see here. National Wrestling League, okay, Fight Kansas City, you know, I was at the Training Performance Center having a great time. Not recapping and repeating what I said, but actually I kind of am. Whenever you have a company that does or has a company owner, promoter, CEO, founder do what he did, it's best just to leave the decision, you know, where it's at, because if you don't know much about it, keep your mouth shut. That's all I'm going to If you are involved in this business, don't, and I mean don't, get involved at all. Because, get the fuck out. If you're in, you know, if we're in a situation, my friend and I that we were in, I'm not going to mention names, we all left because this is not WCW, WWE back in the day, but it's kind of similar too. When you guys, you know your draw, and especially in the world of professional wrestling, if you know that you are part of the reason as to why people are coming to the show, kind of fills you with a big head. So on the political side of things, yeah, you know you're the draw. You know that the company that you're working for knows it. So they go against the grain. That kind of does not make sense. So if somebody is drawing in a lot of people and they're getting their t-shirts sold and they're doing things they're supposed to be doing and they're not manufactured, some promoters don't like that. And some just, you know, they want to see what the fans have to say. That's completely fine. Okay? So, again, it's best just to shut up, not say a damn thing, and just go on about your business. If you want, you know, what I think, you know, good, go, moving on, you know, because politics, discussing it just makes me sick to my stomach a little bit. So here's what I gotta say. Good pro wrestling versus bad pro wrestling. It's like Danny Cage said on the Stone Cold podcast. If you cannot move, you know, from doing basic algebra and you want to start doing trigonometry or geometry, whatever, why, you know, it's the same thing in wrestling. Why would you, if you can't do the basic holds, why would you move on to learning the advanced shit? It is basically, it's a mystery to me. And also, not just learning basic moves and basic holds, and it's knowing, you know, wrestling is basically more than just timing. Actually, that's good three quarters or good half of it, but it's also not being a know-it-all. Good pro wrestling, or good pro wrestlers, I should say, are the ones who don't think too highly of, not, you know, they have confidence, but they're not too confident. There's some guys that are just equipped with knowing everything. Yeah, those guys are what you call, I guess, fortunate or just lucky. But then again, luck is for losers. You know why? Because you create your own luck. Luck happens if, you know, a promoter signs you the next day and you get to quit your day job and you don't have to go and just be frustrated the entire goddamn time. But what really bugs the fuck out of me is, if you don't let loose every once in a while, if you let loose all the time in the ring and you're doing a move and it doesn't look right, or if you are always constantly shooting during a promo and you're not, if you're a babyface and you're not, you know, help, you know, at least building up the heel instead of going right into it like Blaze of Glory, then I am going to tell you this. Good pro wrestling or good pro wrestlers, whatever, they are always the ones that work when even the bad. They make things work. They make things go 100% smooth. With other things, you know, that concern me about good pro wrestling versus bad pro wrestling, good pro wrestling, if you, the fan, are able to discuss afterwards with your friends what you thought about the match and what you consider to be the best thing ever, or, you know, the best match ever, then that means they did their fucking job. If it was a mediocre match, so well, are you the ones working? Well, really, okay. Fans, we all have opinions, and we all have our say-so. So what makes a good pro wrestling match, in my eyes, is going to differ than we know what other people say. But what I had to endure seeing through my own eyes what constituted as a good match, not just the promotion that I worked for, started getting out and started going to see other shit aside from WWE. I had not been to an Evolve show, but someone took me to a CZW show recently. Let me just say this. It's not all death matches, but to me, CZW, equivalently, you know, comparatively speaking, can be a blend of three promotions in the past. It can be a touch of ECW because, you know, when Joey Janela DDT'd his girlfriend on a cinder block or onto a coffin, whatever. Then you have people getting DDT'd onto chairs, using inanimate objects, using foreign objects. Doesn't matter. In CZW, you have a variety. So I classify this promotion as Jake's favorite, but he likes it because they do, you know, his form of favorite style wrestling to his liking. And that, you know, that's completely fine. So whatever you think is good pro wrestling is going to differ. Please don't be the asshole that decides to say, okay, you know, this was just horrible. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. When fans discuss what good, you know, good wrestling is and bad wrestling is when some asshole who decides to run his mouth about giving out advice, when in reality, you know, unless it's Ring of Honor or WWE or New Japan, I won't believe, you know, what you say, hashtag indie logic. Wow, dude. I mean, it's hilarious to me that I have literally seen this guy's work, and I'm allowed to say this because as a fan, it's bad when you know what this person does for a living. You know, if you work in the medical field, you make good money. It's decent. It's a decent backdrop, trust me. But if you're in the world of pro wrestling and you're trying, I guess, you know, some guys' age, they're just content to be standing. And some guys' age, you know what? They have an appreciation for this business and what it did for them. They gained fans. That's what, you know, good pro wrestling is to me. You not only gain fans, but you earned your fans. You busted your ass. You got to the top. No matter if it's just the indies, no matter if it's, you know, in a promotion at 3XW, whether it's in anywhere for that matter, you cannot sit there and honestly tell me, hey, this is good wrestling and bad wrestling. You can, because a lot of fans say, this guy's terrible. I don't know what you see in him, yada, yada, yada. Again, good pro wrestling and bad pro wrestling. Since I've been stuck on this topic, you know, and I've got 30 minutes, I'm going to split time in between and say, whenever this discussion comes up, it's like the weirdest thing for me. You know, because actually, no, it's not the weirdest. It used to be the most strenuous because got bombarded all the time. Why do you like Shawn Michaels? Why do you like this guy? Because it's a weird combo, but Brian Pillman and Shawn Michaels, one is crazier than shit. I wonder why I like that one. One basically proves time and time again why he was the best, whether you loved him or hated him and didn't, oh, well, he did drugs, and that's what makes wrestling bad. Again, judge if you may. But back then, thank God they did not have social media, and thank God that, you know, things are completely different when it comes to discussing good, you know, good wrestling and bad wrestling. Those of you who like boring fucks, there are those of you who like, you know, entertaining high flyers, and those of you who like ground and pound submission specialists. Potato, potato, good wrestling, bad wrestling, that's all up to you and the perception of what you believe is a pro wrestler, okay? So, you just have to, I guess, adjust with the times. And if you don't adjust, that's fine. You just be stuck in your own little opinion. It's tiresome to sway someone's opinions. You're not going to do so until you either get in their face or they get in yours, and it becomes quite nasty. So whenever you're discussing good pro wrestling, bad pro wrestling, it can get ugly. In some instances, it's not even, I guess, a chore anymore for me because I'm not around those assholes that, you know, thought I was crazy in the way I discussed certain things. Some people did like Shawn Michaels. Some people didn't. And did I care? Yeah, somewhat, because couldn't quite get them to agree. But you know what? In the world of pro wrestling, you're always going to have those who disagree. Moving forward, fans' viewpoint of pro wrestling versus a worker's viewpoint. A friend of mine said this the best. You got to view things on how fans would want to see them or how it makes sense to the fans. That's the sign of a good worker, is that they are willing to put themselves in a fan's position. Do you know why that is? Because if you don't think from a fan's perspective, then what are you doing? You're negating the fan's right to cheer how they want to cheer. Now, there are those fans that people call names like Marks or Smarks, since they know all the terminologies. They get labeled like that. You know, certain folk are going to sit there, you don't know much about wrestling. Why are you rambling on? Oh, let me explain something to you. Being on both sides of the spectrum completely changes your outlook on a lot of things, and it's definitely hard to assimilate back into being, you know, in the world of fandom. You know why? Because a part of me wants to manage still. So what's stopping me? That's a lot of the questions. I guess, you know, from a worker's perspective, it can be fun at first. You know, you're like a little kid in the candy store. I know I was. But when you actually go through the ringer itself, mentally, in the world of professional wrestling, it doesn't matter if it's small or minuscule to others. You know, workers will view fans as sometimes annoying, and they just ask questions. They're like the kid that won't shut up, but you got to answer their question anyway. Some workers have that attitude. They know how to really push people's buttons in real life and also, you know, as a worker. So some fans perceive some, you know, certain workers, oh, man, that guy was a jackass, yada, yada, because he didn't sign my autograph or he was never there for me. Okay, I guess. I don't know how you'd want me to describe that. I would say when you are a worker, you see fans, you know, the people that come to see you. I think that, you know, there's a lot of viewpoints on what fans are. That's not just they come to see us. It's, I hope I don't make a wrong impression. I hope that I did this right. I hope, you know, that, you know, I can let the crowd get into this, yada, yada, yada. Not just that. It's just if you make a lasting impression on the kids, you've done your job. Good impressions are always, yeah, good impressions are always important. I agree. You know, just reading through the Instagram questions. Also, it gives you an idea. It gives you an idea like, hey, maybe I should do this for a t-shirt. They're chanting this, or maybe I should market this better. Maybe I could be a servant this way. Brutal Bob Evans always gets inside my head, no matter what, you know, and not just marketing, but if you're not making enough money, and he said something today in his status as, you know, from a worker's perspective, this is brilliant. If you aren't making enough, you know, back in the day, in his day, he didn't have social media platforms like we do. Social media, I've said this countless times, plays a huge role in your role as a worker towards fans and being on the other end of the spectrum, but some people describe me as a disgruntled worker who only bitches and moans on a podcast. Again, your perception of me is completely wrong. Do I have reasons to bitch? Ooh. I think that that's the wrong assessment completely of me because I got to say this. From a worker's perspective, you don't ever threaten fans. You can get mad, but don't ever, and I mean ever, ever show it. So, you know, I use this example, but when you threaten a fan over Facebook and block them like a fucking pussy, that makes you look bad as a worker. Also, but, you know, workers perceive fans. Some of them can be creepers. Some of them can be awesome. And some of you guys can be real annoying smarks to use the terminologies because you think, you know, just because your worker friend says it, you can say it. Some sacred rule of what you can say and cannot say. Best left unsaid, right? Same thing goes with politics. If you... if you are sitting there as a worker, you're saying, man, these fucking marks, I can't believe them. What are they doing? Yeah, can't stand them. And to me, you're a piece of shit. They're the fans. You don't like, you know, having people buy your shirts. You don't like people saying hello to you. You don't like signing autographs. And why are you in the business? Okay. Back to what I was originally supposed to discuss. If you're a worker, sometimes it is annoying when you're trying to go home and you're trying so desperately not to throw something. But unfortunately, you know, you do get caught up and you do make mistakes. We all been there. From a fan's perspective, what is a worker? A worker is someone they look up to and eventually want to become or follow or at least be in good relationship. Social media does kind of affect both sides. On the one hand, workers can respond, you know, in a brilliant way. They can also respond in the asshole kind of way. The asshole kind of way tends to come out a lot in some people's eyes. Well, he was an asshole to me. It's all how you read the question or how you present the question. Presentation is 9/10 of the law in the world of professional wrestling for both a fan and a worker. A worker perceives a fan that acts, you know, normal. Hey, I can approach this guy or gal, and I can or girl. I'd be like, okay, you know, I can present myself, blah 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 blah, no problem. But if you can't present yourself as a worker, if you can't present yourself as a fan, why? My question is, the question to anybody: why are you even involved in the business? Like some people. Some fans view workers as like these major celebrities, which they are. They are your heroes, you know, your heroines, if you like the female wrestlers. A fan just views a wrestler as an entertainer, someone that's like Superman or Wonder Woman or Batman, whoever your favorite hero is. A worker views a fan as, well, here's my money. Some of them view that as that. Others view him as, holy shit, this guy doesn't shut up. It just happens. It is just a complete perception of, you know, worker think of each other. So I got to say it. Like, and there's no explanation for certain things. But when it comes to a worker, all we owe you is, from a worker's viewpoint, guys, all we owe you is a good show. You don't pay our salary. That's nice. You know, that's a nice sentiment that some fans like to say when they're mad at wrestlers. A good example, you know, is Randy Orton. When he was working out, he told the fan not to take a picture of him. The fan took a picture anyways, thought he wouldn't care, tell the story to his buddies. In that instance, you know, Lance Storm wrote an article or a blog about it and stated, or a tweet about it saying, we do not owe you anything except for good salary. They see, when a guy is working out, he's trying to do his job. Okay? That is completely what they are trying to do. Now, a worker is trying to get unannoyed, you know, he's, you know, mad because he sees you out the corner of his eye taking pictures. He's sweaty, he's nasty. Had the guy waited till Randy showered and taken a picture at Randy's nicely dressed. He smells good. He's not sweaty. He's not all over the place. Again, you know, a fan views a wrestler as a celebrity like Chris Evans or Chris Hemsworth. So what is it, you know, that drives me batshit crazy? It's when certain, you know, people sit in a circle and discuss, well, I think this guy was buried. I used to do the same shit until I listened to podcasts and started getting into the other side, or onto the other side of the business, and I'm not just referring to myself as a journalist, but actually being in the back, actually seeing and listening, you know, how show works, okay, you're on, blah, 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 go through the curtain. When you hit that curtain, it's an adrenaline rush. When you see the fans, that's an even bigger adrenaline rush for, you know, for any worker. I don't care who you are. So keep in mind, this is a big deal. You know, it is a big deal when, you know, workers go through that curtain and they bust ass for a good show, whether it be an 8-minute match, a 9-minute match, doesn't matter. So I'm just reading through this shit on Instagram. It's quite entertaining. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. I'm just saying I've observed from both sides of the tape. Does that make me better than anyone? No. But please understand that this is the bulk of the discussion tonight, and that is fans versus pro wrestlers and, you know, what they think a pro wrestler should be. We buy their shirts. We buy everything. We do everything, you know, possible to support the – that's fine. You know, I'm not saying you cannot support pro wrestling. What I'm telling you is do not sit there and say, I think they did this because, you know, they're trying to either bury him or they're giving him a push, one of the two. I don't know. They keep me guessing. I like this fucker. I'd rather have a roundabout opinion like that then straight up, I hate this guy. I hate this girl. Have reasons why. And then, you know, experienced people tell you otherwise, because I would rather have a healthy argument than a one-sided argument. I believe this guy would be great. Oh, you know, I believe this guy would be the best. Blah, 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 blah. Have some thought process, guys, because I think what I'm trying to say is please think all the way through before you make a statement. Okay? So, and that being said, you know, a lot of people will sit there and say, I believe this is, you know, from their perspective. No, you're putting words and thoughts into people's mouths, and that's not fair to the worker. Some, and also workers, if you're not there to entertain fans, what are you doing? I mean, there comes a point in time when people watched wrestling and there wasn't this big debauchery full of, I think this person's great, I, you know, he exceeds expectations and being a great heel. When fans start using terminologies, is that such a bad thing? No. It makes me cringe because, like I said, when I start thinking like workers, oh dear God. Okay, and then some people will tell me, you should let them think like workers. Like hell, if they're in there actually taking bumps, and not just bumps, but learning holds and all that shit. Some people, well, I know jujitsu, and I know karate, and I can easily do this, and I can easily do that. The fuck you can! If any of the people that say this shit, you know what's funny? Is that some of them, they honestly believe that they get in the ring, that they can kick the crap out of any wrestler. That's how some of you think. And some of you may be lucky and fortunate and blessed enough to have a muscular, big old body. So here's the deal, folks. A pro wrestler will think certain fans, not all, are smarks or marks, that's not all. But they also love and nurture them. And it's because you guys are fucking amazing. Some of you are, because you know how to act, and you were taught how to act from a very young age. So some fans will firmly believe that etiquette does not apply to them. Some fans know, you know, okay, well, they're obviously working, they're busy, let's not bother them. When you think that, you know, it's okay to approach a wrestler while he's eating, please don't do that. That's one of my biggest fucking pet peeves. As my irritations, I should say, not pet peeves. Same thing. Whenever you have someone try to discuss political shit, I just feel personally that you know, you should be discussing that on a discussion board, not with when you're around other workers. So, as nice and as I can be, I'm going to tell you like this. A wrestler has somewhat skewed viewpoints of a fan. A fan, not all of you have somewhat skewed viewpoints of a wrestler. So how does that translate into professional wrestling, what it is? Without fans, you wouldn't, you know, have workers working. It'd just be really boring. Guys just beating the crap out of each other in the ring, just body slamming. You hear no pop. Or, you know, you see a babyface come back, you know, beating the shit out of somebody, you know, and his comeback, and you hear no sound. Same thing with fans. If there were no wrestlers, what entertainment would you find? You have UFC, you have all the other stuff, so yeah, you'd find that, but it's not big and it's not a show. No pun intended. So what I'm telling you all is this. You can't is the words you hear a lot in the world of pro wrestling. You can't be like this. You can't do this. You can't do that. In regards to certain people, yeah, that saying rings very, very true. You know why? Well, I can tell you it's not going to be what you want to hear. Fans, you can't expect wrestlers to adhere to every single whim and cater to every whim, although the promoter wishes them to do so. They are humans. They have lives. And they deserve a break. Now, here's a fun fact for you. When wrestling first started, it wasn't much. It was just in carnivals and shows and other guys. You know, the fans didn't know what to think because it would just be nothing but squash matches. So then somebody figured out, okay, well, I've got to, you know, make this a show, make it go on. Instead of just doing one takedown and the guy goes down like a sack of rocks in the East River, you know, let's instead just do this whole, I'm going to let you beat my ass, blah, blah, blah. However you want to interpret it. Wrestling has evolved, and boy, has it ever. From just AOL online discussion forums to, you know, from a fan's perspective, to blogs, discussion groups on Facebook, you know, Twitter, podcasts. It's amazing, you know, what it's turned into. So I always, you know, enjoy something new. I don't like something old or redundant or the same. Some fans may want, you know, comfort level of that. But what are you, you know, what are you doing to yourself? You're not being, in my opinion, you're not enjoying unless you learn something new. Some people just want to stay complacent, and that's fine. That's not, you know, very enjoyable from any perspective. If you're a wrestler and you got a perception of a fan, what's that main perception? Are they going to love me or hate me? Probably not. If you just are starting out. But I will say this, since I only have 8 minutes left, I'm just going to outright say this. Some wrestlers don't like fans because they're blunt and to the point, straightforward. Yeah, some fans hear your conversation, you know, and they choose to base their fandom off of you after that moment. So be careful what you say around certain fans because they will pick up. So, you know, people are the way they are. It's, you know, perception is 9/10 of the law. That's the famous saying goes. But as a wise man once say, you know, this goes for fans and wrestlers. If you don't know me, don't judge me. You know, fans only see wrestlers as the guys who entertain. Some do. Certain fans can look beyond that, and that's the beautiful thing. certain workers make mistakes with threatening fans. Not just threatening fans, I mean, you have to ask yourself the question, what did the fan do to antagonize the wrestler? So certain viewpoints that wrestlers have is, am I really, you know, helping the situation along by dwelling on this fan, or am I just, you know, going to sit there and, you know, do my best to get rid of this guy? Anyways, folks, I'm going to wrap things up here in just a minute because my phone is about to die. Yeah, it really, it's at 40%. I love that tidbit. Anyways, pro wrestlers, they believe certain things. Fans believe certain things. Does it ever come to a mutual agreement on their viewpoints? Sometimes yes and sometimes no. So, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Whenever you hear, hey man, how's it going? It's cool. It's like being able to relate with a celebrity because you're a part of the show or you're not a part of the show. And even if you're not a part of the show, you still feel like you have a connection, fan or wrestler. Now on to the fun part. If you do, you know, I never mentioned this at the beginning of the show. Promos and their premise. And this is going to be attached to next week's Wrestle Radio's Off the Rails. If you do a promo and it's a direct shot at someone, by all means, please don't be a walking contradictory. As if I don't know you, I'm still going to take my shots at you. Because it's funny, I worked for the promotion for 2 years, and I don't know how they work. That's fucking funny, because as far as I am concerned, sir, I believe that just because you wrestle does not mean you are the all-foreseeing god of, you know, promos. If you're doing a promo and you're taking a subtle shot at somebody, that's fucking funny. You say don't speak about them unless they're in front of your face. See, if I speak in front of your face, I'm going to roast you like a Thanksgiving turkey on Thanksgiving fucking day. And that is, whenever you have me and Jim Cornette in the same room, is that going to have anything to do with what I'm discussing with you? All right. Yeah, it does, because Jim has factual facts. I have actual facts. Jim has actual facts as well, and about companies that we worked for. And if you don't like what the truth of the matter is, then here it is. When doing a promo, a heel, the basic premise of a heel is doing a promo, a heel is supposed to build up the baby face just a little bit, sarcastically speaking. So, you know, he's supposed to dive into it 100%, full on, full tilt. So, what I'm going to say to you next is like this. If you're a baby face, your goal is to what? Make the crowd either empathize with you or make the crowd get psyched, pumped up for you. If you do neither and you just stand there and sway, or you look off into space, or it sounds muddled, or you stop in the middle of a pro, why? Why would you stop? You can't, unless you're dramatically pausing, then it makes no sense, like I did just there. That leaves you time, because time is money in the world of pro wrestling. If you're not fully invested in your promos, you're not making any bit of damn sense, okay? So here's what I have to say to you. You're not making any sense during a promo, then why? Not just making sense, but if you can't get the point across, boo, your ass is going to get booed. It doesn't matter where you are. So at any level, promos are important, because if you can't mic, even though some of you hate this company with a passion, it doesn't matter where you are. If you can't get anything across, why? Why do, the worst promo in the world and then get credit for it? That's just my biggest thing. So I'm going to leave you guys with this. I'm going to discuss what makes a good promo, what makes a bad promo, what's an in-between, and basically, something that is near and dear to my heart, and that's the bread and butter of a manager, which is promos. So I'll see you all on the flip side. Catch you later. Toodles.
The cult of personality.